His name was Jack Taylor. He was the number one author of the Broadman Press. Tremendous speaker. I'll never forget he came up to me because I was teaching there at his church. And he said, Bill, I want you to always remember this. He said, you are to always go with the goers.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill begins the final message from his Hebrew series, Jesus is Better. In the last section of the book, the emphasis is living by faith. The writer presents the great examples of faith in chapter 11 and the encouragements to faith in chapter 12. In chapter 13, he presents the evidences of faith that should appear in our lives if we are really walking by faith and not by sight. Now let's join Pastor with today's message, How Important is Chapter 13, Part 2?
Let's begin this morning. Remember, listen, we left off the last time with part one of the study, okay? We covered verses 1-6. And the title of the sermon was, How Important is Chapter 13? That was part one, and it's the same title for chapter two, or part two, okay? And so this is so important. Chapter 13 is usually overlooked and thought of as like an afterthought, okay? And like there's just 25 verses that are all different topics that are just crammed into the end, like the writer was trying to get as much done as possible. It's not an afterthought. This is one of the most glorious conclusions to any book in the Bible, and I pray that you have your heart open this morning. And we want to be Jewish today. Is that okay? We want to be first century believers in Jesus Christ, Jewish believers. We want to look over there and say, wow, there's Herod's temple. It is still standing. That's all I've ever known all my life. It is the high priest and the sacrifices and the Levitical system and Moses' law. Do you understand? 37 incredible acres, one of the most beautiful temple in all of the world, Herod's temple, okay? It was worked on for nearly 90 years, and when it was completed a few years later, it was destroyed. Josephus said that the stone of the temple, when the sun came up and hit the stone, it was so bright white that it could blind you by looking at it. It was the most glorious thing. And the Jews, of course, that's where the Shekinah glory, where God dwelt symbolically. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, we know that this chapter, we know that it was a warning, if you will, to the Jewish believers on what they needed to do because their entire way of life was about to be changed forever. Last Sunday, remember, I talked to you about the predictive prophecy of Jesus. What he said, not one stone is going to be left upon another, guys. It's all over with. Now, with all that being said, I said last Sunday, if you had to write 25 verses to warn people of a destruction that was coming upon them, what would you write? Well, that's exactly what we find right here, because everything that they've ever known in that generation there, the Jews, okay, is about to vanish before their very eyes. This morning, the pressing question that led me to say, you know, how important is chapter 13 is this. What happened to the recipients of this letter? What happened to them? Are we told in these verses what happened to them? No, we're not, are we? But maybe we are. And it's very important that we study this out, okay? So these recipients of this letter, the Jewish believers, did they perish with all the other Jews in AD 70 with the destruction of the temple, when Jerusalem from 10 miles in a radius was literally leveled by Titus and the 10th Legion of Rome and other legions as well? Jews crucified and slaughtered. It was horrible. Over 1.5 million Jewish men, women, and children, they perished, loved one. Did they die, the Jewish believers of this letter, or did they somehow manage to escape? Well, we're going to find out if they made it, okay? And the thing is that the writer now prepares them for what is coming, meaning Rome, the destruction, all the things that are about to happen. Now these verses from 7 through 25, they are preparing the reader. Let's begin. He writes in verse 7, he says, remember those who rule over you. The word rule means to lead, like a pastor or whatnot, elder. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. In other words, have taught you the good news of Jesus Christ, who's taught you the word of God. He says, I want you to remember those, which suggests that these leaders, they're no longer there. Either they have died or they have been martyred. You follow me? But they don't speak anymore, but they did leave them an example. You know, have you ever remembered your pastors from old or this or what? How maybe they spoke one word to you that changed your life. I'll never forget one of my pastors, his name was Jack Taylor. He was the number one author of the Broadman Press, which was Baptist Press, of course. Tremendous speaker, gifted, one of the most gifted teachers that I have met in many years, okay? I'll never forget he came up to me, he says, because I was teaching there at his church, and he said, Bill, I want you to always remember this. He said, you are to always go with the goers. I've never forgotten that. I've used it so much in some of my sermons, I think I penned it, okay? But that's the truth. Go with those who are going with Jesus Christ. Pray for those who are not, but don't hang with them. You go with people that are going on with the Lord. Now listen, why do you think you're a first century Jew, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been excommunicated from Judaism, from everything that Jews are, your own family has rejected you, why do you think he's saying, don't forget what they told you? Don't forget what they taught. You see, we're not given all that information, are we? But there's something here that's suggesting, don't you ever forget what they told you. The word of exhortation that they gave you. And matter of fact, he said, look at the examples that they gave unto you. Look at it as it continues. What examples do they give the Jewish believers, their teachers, their pastors? It says, whose faith, what? Follow. In other words, imitate. And it says, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now, listen very carefully. The word outcome here, literally in the Greek, it's talking about the sum total, if you will, of one's life. In other words, you saw their life. They're not here any longer. They ran the race of faith. And he says, now here's what you have to do. You can see what's happening in Jerusalem. You can see that the Roman soldiers, they are all over our city. You can see the things that are happening. He says, listen, you need to imitate their faith. It says, whose faith followed, the word follow means to imitate it. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. That's what they did. What did they show them? What did they give them? Well, number one, the leader showed them how to live by faith and then how to die by faith. Do you see how important that is to a first century Jew? They didn't quit. They stood, no matter what it was. They stood in Christ Jesus, their Messiah. How did they do that? They imitated their faith by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. Amen? Now, let's bring it up to the 21st century. Whenever it said for them to imitate them, follow them, and so forth, even today, it doesn't mean that you're to act like they act. In other words, like, okay, in other words, to imitate their faith is not to imitate their preaching style. Somebody asked me one time, a pastor in this city, he says, oh, I know who you are. You're Bill Quick, Calvary Chapel. Said, do you preach like Pastor Chuck? I said, no. Do you see what I'm getting at? No, Pastor Chuck was only Pastor Chuck. Do you see what I mean? So we're not here to imitate someone's style of preaching or personality or any of those things. That's not, you don't do that. Never build your life on a servant of God. Never do that. Never. Listen, you have only one foundation and only one person. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. You build your life on him. And listen to me. Leaders, they may have a lifestyle. You look and say, boy, that's a lifestyle. I can consider that. Or leaders may have a faith. You observe it and you go, wow, it's worth imitating. That's fine. But here's the problem. Every pastor and every leader, well, in my eyes, they fail if they never point you to the only person they need to point you to. You know, we don't make disciples after ourselves at Calvary Chapel. We point you to one person. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And that is your supreme example of love and forgiveness and faith and everything. Why? Well, leaders come and go. They died, these leaders, amen? But Jesus, He's living, and not only is he living, look at the next verse, Jesus never changes. Watch this. It says, Jesus Christ is the what? He's the same. Well, how long? Yesterday, today, and forever. Man, that's our example. He's our supreme example. Listen, now, why did he do this? Why did the writer put that verse in there? Of course, the Holy Spirit, but he was doing something. He's showing his readers, again, the situation at its hand. He's saying, guys, listen, everything you know, everything in Jerusalem, the place that we have been, some of them, I was born here, you follow me. He's saying everything is about to change, but don't forget that Jesus never changes. He never changes. The Bible says, Hebrews 1:12 says, when all the dust settles and everything falls apart in this life, Jesus Christ, he is the same. And you notice it said Jesus, meaning his humanity, Christ, meaning his deity. The Greek word Christ means the anointed one. Hebrew, it would be the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the God-man. Amen? As we run the race, you know what? The day I started out, all those years ago and today, he's never changed. Do you understand? He's the same every day. He is instant in season. He is instant out of season. And whenever I finish my race, he is still the same. Amen? You need to remember that Jesus, he never changes. And the reason, his unchangeableness, if you will, is the reason that his grace never changes. Man, it's eternal. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Man, what did Jesus tell Philip? He said in John 14:9, he said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen? In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 58, when the religious rulers were taunting the Lord and so forth, Jesus looked unto them and said, listen, before Abraham was, I am. Boy, he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Amen? Now listen to me. Jesus never changes. He will always forgive you. His love never goes up and down. His promises can never change. They are eternal and they are always true. And all the promises are yes and again, amen, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen? Jesus never changes, but beware. Now, they're talking to the Jews. We're talking to us now. Beware, because there are people that want to change who Jesus is, and they want to teach a false doctrine. Amen? That's why, now here they are, here we are, and we are, things are circulating in Jerusalem like never before to these Jewish believers, maybe false prophets and all the rest of them. That's why the next verse is so important then and now. He says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines or teachings, teachings that are not from God, teachings that are not found in Scripture, any teaching that is foreign to the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? You got to beware. He says, for it is good that the heart be established or strengthened by what? Grace. That's God's unmerited favor. Not with, or not devoted to would be a better translation, not devoted to or given to with foods. That's 100% Jewish. In other words, dietary rules and regulations from the law of Moses and so forth. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:8, it says that food does not bring one closer to God. Amen? And so he's talking about not with foods, which have not profited, and there's that word, those, meaning the Jews under the old covenant, who have been occupied with them. Now, the Jews thought, well, if I give up this, if I don't touch this and eat this, it'll draw me closer to the Lord. I can tell you, like I told the first service, loved one, listen, you can give up bacon, you know what I mean? Never eat crispy bacon, really crispy. Don't ever eat that again. And certainly never take a pork chop that's been fried and the bone's still there. And you know what? No. It has no spiritual benefit. Okay, it has a health benefit, no spiritual benefit. It will not bring you closer to God, but it might bring you closer to a heart attack. Do you understand? I don't know. Now, look what it says here. Do not be carried about. Now, that word carried about is present tense, which means It was already active there in that congregation of the Jewish believers. There was a lot of lies and a lot of false teaching that was going on. And it says carried away literally means to flow away like a river, to be misled. Listen, every Christian then and now, you need to be, you must be grounded in the Word of God. You need to know what you believe, but you also need to know why you believe it. Amen? And if you don't, do you know that you can be carried away, like the river flowing, carried away into a false teaching, but it might even sound so sincere, so pure, but it's not from God's Word at all. I'll tell you, it's important today. We are living in the last days right this very minute, and there is a famine in the land of God's Word. Amen? The Word of God is no longer being taught like it used to be taught. I'm talking about where you teach Genesis through Revelation. You know, you don't skip the books of the Bible. You teach God's Word. And that's the way you become grounded in God's Word. Christian, listen, those that are listening on the radio right now, those that are listening live, those in the chapel, never pick a church, no matter how popular, no matter how large, no matter how just it looks great, never pick a church, loved one. Select a church on the basis of programs, or I like their music, or my kids really love the kids' church. You select it on one thing. Do they teach the entire counsel of God? That's what's important. Amen? Amen. Now look at verse 10. He says, now we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Now, here we have another proof that Hebrews was written before the destruction of the temple in AD 70, because he's talking about the tabernacle there at the temple where they were making these sacrifices and so forth. So Herod's temple and the Holy of Holies, the high priest, they're getting ready to be gone, man. And one time a year, guess what? You know the story of the Day of Atonement. The high priest could go in once a year with the blood and so forth to make atonement for the sins of Israel. Amen? But no other Jew could go in, only once a year, only the high priest. So when it says there that we have an altar that we can eat from and so forth, they couldn't eat from, but we have one. Listen, it's not talking about the Lord's Supper here, like some use it for that. It's not talking about that. It's talking about our spiritual altar, that we don't have one on earth, but we do have one in heaven, and there are no sacrifices being offered there. Amen? That's right. And so what is it? Hebrews 4:16. It is the throne of grace. Guess who is there? Our great high priest, Hebrews 4:14. And guess what he did? Hebrews 9:12. He entered into the holiest of holiest with his own blood. Amen? And he purchased for us eternal salvation. Loved one, listen. Here it says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary. Now, we're talking now again about the earthly Holy of Holies. It says, brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, meaning the sin offering, are burned where? Outside the camp. Again, this is referring to Leviticus 16:27 about the Day of Atonement. Let me read it to you. It says, the bull for the sin offering, the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place or the Holy of Holies, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in the fire the skins, flesh, their offal, meaning all, every bit of it is going to be consumed. So on the Day of Atonement, the sacrifice, it wasn't burnt on the altar there in the temple. It had to be taken all the way outside of the camp. The high priest was never allowed to eat any of that sacrifice. It was burned totally, all of it up. Now, watch what he says. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify or set apart to God forever the people with his own blood, what did he do? He suffered outside the gate. In other words, the city gate of Jerusalem. Now, we know that Jesus suffered. We know that he suffered for our sins. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen? And we know that John 19, I think it's 27 and following. You can look at that later. But it says that he went out from the city to Golgotha or to Calvary. And there, when he went out, they crucified our Lord. He took our place. Amen? Jesus was our and the world's sin offering. Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Okay, wages, sin has a payday, okay? But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen? So Jesus was our sin offering. Now, look at this carefully now. What are we to do? Therefore, let us go forth to him. Where? Outside the camp. What's outside the camp where Jesus was crucified? Shame, disgrace. All the dead bodies of animals was put out there. They disposed of the waste out there. And the lowest criminals in Jerusalem, Rome would crucify them out in that area. He went to Calvary. So let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. In other words, his shame. How do we do that? How do we go to Jesus and say, Lord, I just want to serve you. I want to follow you. I know that if I do, the world's going to hate me because it hated you first. You know how we do that? When we go outside the camp to Calvary and bear his reproach, we do so like a Luke 9:23, where it says, Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Amen? And that's what we do. Now, here's what I want you to see about verse 13. It says, the writer says, he says to the Jewish believers too, he says, let us go. Now, that is a warning. That is a final warning, and they're key words. Verse 12 says, outside the gate, outside the camp, to go to Jesus. In other words, go stand with him, bearing his reproach. It says that in Hebrews 12, too, that Jesus, he went outside, not despising the shame of the cross, and he died there for you and for me. So what is he saying here? To them, he is saying, run as fast as you can away from this obsolete religious system that has denied the only true Messiah. Jesus came to his own received him not. Amen. That's what they did. And he said, listen, it's all about to vanish away. He says, just keep running the race away from this city because we are going to some other city. We're looking for one to come. Look at it, verse 14 here. For here, Jerusalem, here on earth, here we, the author and the Jewish believers, we have no continuing city, meaning Jerusalem, but we seek one to come, meaning the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, listen carefully. What is he saying to them? He's saying, guys, ladies, all of you, he says, Jerusalem is just a shadow now. There's absolutely nothing for a believer in Christ that's there. It is completely done away with. It is over. There's no continuing city. It is going to be finished. Now, that is another proof that Hebrews was written before the destruction of the temple. Amen? In AD 70. Now, the Jewish believers now, they're lining up with Abraham. Remember Hebrews 11:10? It says, for he, meaning Abraham, he was looking for a city which foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so are we. The world is not our home, is it? No. Aren't you glad? Look at this world. You know, when you're young, you look at it and say, oh, it's beautiful. When you get my age, you look at it, if you can see anything, you'll go, well, it's not so beautiful. You know, the fact is, the world is ugly. We've never had peace on this planet. Do you understand? There never will be peace on this planet until the Prince of Peace comes. Do you understand that? Never. This world is not our home. And everything that we have is there, not here. This place is going to go, loved one, just like the city of Jerusalem. Now, watch what it says in verse 15. Therefore, by him, meaning Jesus, our great high priest, therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Now, it says, therefore, by him, through him. That means that Jesus is alive. Amen? Right this minute. What is he saying? He's saying to the Jewish believers, to us as well. He says, listen, animal sacrifices, they're gone. They've ceased. But our praise to the Lord will never cease. Amen? And then he uses the word our lips as a sacrifice. In other words, now from our own mouth is that sacrifice of praise. No matter what's going on, loved one, listen, he said, they're always, continually, no matter the situation. Do you know that is a word, see, for them? Can you see that? Saying, okay, your guys, we're getting ready to face some tough times. But you know what you can do in the midst of that? You just continually praise the Lord.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but please tune in tomorrow to hear the conclusion to How important is chapter 13? Thank you for listening along with us. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.